So I do feel like I have a word for us this morning. I feel like the Lord spoke to me this week on what to preach today. It impacts all of us. It impacts all of us, as I'll break out in the scripture, that no one is above the discussion of what I'm going to preach today. So please allow a little time for me to build just a moment of foundation, and then let the Lord penetrate the deep parts of our heart. I'm not talking about a shallow service. The Spirit of the Lord is here. There's no shallowness to Him. He moves on the face of the deep. And so today, God wants to go to the deep parts of our soul, the deep parts of our heart. And in the deep parts, there's hurt. In the deep parts, there's pain. In the deep parts, there's unforgiveness. In the deep parts, there's anguish and torment that nobody sees but God. We're going to go to the deep today. Is that all right? Amen. Read with me in Luke chapter number 4, verses 14 through 20. I know you've been standing a long time. We'll get through this, and I'll let you be seated. But I don't believe this is a church that's just going to sit on me all day. Y'all going, I hope you took your Advil or Tylenol for arthritis today, because I hope the knees allow you to get up and down all morning long. All right, amen? Luke 4, 14 through 20. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. People started to hear the news of this man named Jesus. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And then I can picture Jesus standing in the midst of the synagogues. As he was there and looking at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he says this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That wasn't a physical bruising. That was a psychological bruising that was going on in people's lives. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. People can shout with you. People can shout and dance and clap and say amen. And you can leave this place. But what the Lord, what Jesus just spoke to them, wasn't something that had their head turning in just a moment. But it was so impactful that their eyes were fastened. Are you telling me today that I don't have to carry my shame? Are you telling me today that I don't have to carry my hurt? Are you telling me that you can set me free? That I don't have to deal with depression or anxieties or fears? And they were fastened on him, because he wasn't just talking about physical miracles, but he was talking about mental miracles, that he was about to release their state of mind. I want to read just quickly out of another translation, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to announce release, the pardon or the forgiveness to the captives, to recover sight of the blind, to set those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly. I believe the favor of God is upon us. I want to preach to you this morning on this title: A Hurting World, A Healing God. A Hurting World, A Healing God. God bless you. You can be seated. Star City Church, we live in a broken world. People are hurting. People are bruised. They are hopeless, because there is no hope that can be offered in the world. The world and our country we live in and are dealing with brokenness on an epic scale. They are saying that there are not enough psychologists, there are not enough counselors or doctors to help all the people that are dealing with major hurt, fear, and mental illness. My heart is heavy for all that deal with these crippling conditions. And we can't just say that they're outside of the four walls of the church. Because in this day, people inside the church deal with some of the same issues that people deal with outside the church. Some of the same mental health conditions of anxiety disorders, ADHD, bipolar disorders, borderline personality disorders, depression. I'm telling you, church, anybody can feel depressed. Eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, psychosis, schizophrenia. All of these things come into the life of all people. And we can deal with heartache and pain and sorrow of people that have hurt us. The apology never came. The forgiveness is not there. Mental illness is something that is so overwhelming in our world today that a lot of people just don't like to talk about it. The church doesn't like to talk about it. Outside, the outside world, you don't want to be associated if you're dealing with some of these disorders, with some of these issues in our lives. But I believe, as we have seen through the course of the last 3, 4, 5 years, that anybody can deal with fear. Anybody can deal with panic. Anybody can deal with depression. Anybody can deal with loneliness. But I'm talking about the deep parts of the heart that nobody wants to talk about, that nobody wants to really recognize, that nobody wants to have a conversation about, because we're supposed to be these mighty Holy Ghost filled Christians, and we are. We're filled with the Spirit of the living God, and I'm thankful for that. But guess what? We're human also, and we deal with the same tragedies in our life that other people deal with, but we don't want to talk about it. We whisper about it in prayer, saying, God, I can't believe that I'm dealing with depression. I can't believe I'm dealing with hurt and heartache. God, I cannot believe that I am fear-stricken. It's the whispers in a prayer room. It's the whispers in a bedroom that we don't want anybody to know that we're dealing with any of these battles in our lives. We're a hurting world, but we know a healing God. It's been asked, what is the cause of mental illness? Although the exact cause of mental illnesses is not known, it has become clear through research that many of these conditions is the cause of a combination of biological, psychological, or environmental factors. These conditions, and we can talk about illness when it comes to the body. No one in here would be afraid to say that I have the flu, or I have a cold, or that I'm dealing with arthritis, or that I have a broken arm. Any of these illnesses that we would go to the doctor for, that we would stand up today and want prayer. We want prayer if we had cancer today. Just this past week, my father was diagnosed that it's a high percentage that he has cancer, and we want to go to prayer for that. And we can talk about the physical illnesses of our life, but we can't talk about the mental battles that we face. And everybody faces a mental battle. So these factors coming in that we can express, I believe, openly and freely to people that is willing to help and pray and intercede on our behalf. Some conditions involve circuits of your brain that are used in thinking, mood, and behavior. For instances, that you may have too much or not enough activity of certain brain chemical called neurotransmitters within those circuits of your brain. And brain injuries can also cause or link to some mental conditions. And I promise you, if you just give me a couple more minutes this morning to build a foundation, because I want to go to the deep parts of the Spirit today. I want somebody to leave here in freedom. Because I believe the scripture, when it says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. That when you leave this place today, you can be set free from something that has been bothering you for a long time. You don't have to carry the weight or the burden of your hurt, the burden of disappointment, the burden of fear. You don't have to leave with the burden of anxiety in your life this morning. You don't have to leave depressed, but you can leave with joy in your soul. You can live with peace in your heart because I know the Prince of Peace. I know the joy giver, and he is my joy. Somebody say joy. We need joy this morning. We need joy this morning. We need peace this morning. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we need to walk in joy. We need to walk in this. Some illnesses may be triggered or worsened by psychological trauma. Something that happens to us when we're a child, teenager, or even as an adult. Severe emotional, physical, or sexual abuse at any age can turn us into a lifestyle of fear and anxieties and worry and panic. A major loss, such as a death of a parent early in life. Childhood neglect may have you at a point to where forgiveness is very hard. Major sources of stress, such as death or divorce, problems in the home with your marriage, job loss, school, substance abuse can trigger or activate certain mental disorders in some people. But not everyone that goes through these things find themselves in the conditions as others. It's normal today. I want to make sure to say this. It's normal today to feel grief over a passing loved one. That's normal. You should feel grief. It's normal to feel anger. Be angry and sin not. You're going to feel moments of anger and other emotions when we can have major setbacks in our life, disappointments. But we can't allow our disappointments to turn into depression or oppression. There's much research still to be done, they say, and there's not enough time to do it. But research shows that 1 in 5, so somebody's sitting on your row, and it may be me or you. 1 in 5 U.S. adults experience mental illness each year. 1 in 20 experience serious mental illness. 1 in 6 ages 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder or illness each year. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 14. Church, we live in a hurting world. But we have a healing God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who is the answer to the question today? Who is your answer if you are bound by the very flooding of tears from your eyes throughout the day or night? The answer today we know and we can recognize is only one, and his name is Jesus. He is the answer to our question today. He is the God of understanding and the God of the miraculous. But I want to turn our attention today to a study of the life of King David. King David was a man that had much turmoil in his life. We look at David and we think of King David as the man that killed Goliath, the man that had many battles that he won against the Philistines. But David had much turmoil in his life. He really went through a lot. Christian psychologists who study the scripture say that if David was alive today, that David probably would be prescribed medication because he was deep in depression. That David went through battles in his life and family situations that showed, and as he wrote in Psalms, as he would write the Holy Script in Psalms and poetry in Psalms, that his depression and his fears would just boil out of his writings. Why? Because David had a father that didn't believe in him. Many of us had fathers that didn't believe in us. When I told my father that I was getting into ministry, becoming a preacher, he told me, well, get ready to be on food stamps. I don't know if he was just talking about my preaching or the ministry. Many of us here today, if we'd really be honest with ourselves, we can relate. David had a father that didn't believe in him. His own king tried to kill him.
His wife mocked him. His son tried to take his kingship. And another son was a horrific man that caused great tragedy to another child of his. You add all this together. Besides that, David sinned in his life. I'm sure that David at moments lived with shame, regret, and guilt of his own. Can you imagine all this that David went through? I'm talking about the great King David, the giant killer. I'm talking about the giant killer this morning that would go and fight men with his sword, that Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. I'm talking about a warrior of God here today. I'm talking about a strong man that when people talk about who would you like to emulate, who would you like to be like in Scripture, I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart, a man that would cry out to God, but also a man that would take the sword out of the sheath and go kill the enemies of God. I want to be like David. I want to be a giant killer. David's greatest battle, hear me somebody today, David's greatest battle was never the physical fight. Goliath didn't scare David. The Philistines didn't scare David. David's greatest battle was not in the physical. David's greatest battle was winning the mental health battle. Look in the Scripture. You can read all through it. David would battle with his own flesh, battle in his own mind. David would look into God to try to help him, and at times he felt like he couldn't find him. But David's greatest battle was not a Philistine or the giant. It was getting in the right frame of mind, letting God heal his mind, letting God forgive him of his sin, trying to deal with his family. And we all have family that we have to deal with. Somebody say amen. Huh. We all got crazy people in our family. Huh. If your family's here, don't say amen too loud. Huh. But we all deal with circumstances and situations. And this is where David was at. And this is why he wrote in Psalms 13:2, and I'm reading out of a different translation, maybe a little bit easier for us to understand today. In Psalms 13:2, this is David, King David, the giant killer. That's why we should never be ashamed of what we're going through. Some of y'all are here today and you want to shut me out already because you're like, I will shout with you, I will dance with you, I will clap with you, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to dig up some stuff. I don't want to dig up my heart. I don't want to deal with this. It hurts too much. It hurts too much. Well, in order to get healing, sometimes you have to dig out the infection. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to dig it out and let God heal it and let God fill it and let God restore it. And this is David. So let me just prove to you in Scripture that David had a mental situation that he was going through. Psalms 13:2. He says, how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul? He had anguish in his soul, with sorrow in my heart every day. Don't tell me David didn't go through things mentally. Don't tell me David didn't. They didn't have the word depression back then, but David was depressed. David was going through a battle. So if we want to say, hey, I want to be like David, he's a man after God. He's a manly man. This dude is out there fighting bears and lions and giants. I want to be like David. I remember growing up in my home, as a man, you were never allowed to cry. If you cried, my dad would look at me and say, you better stop crying or I'll give you something. Y'all grew up in my house. We're family. But David cried out to the Lord. And he says, my soul was in anguish every day. Then in Psalms 109, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is full of pain. Anybody still want to be like David? Psalm 69, 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? I'm not talking about like on church on Sunday. It's good to be here. You can feel a releasing here. You can feel the Spirit here. I'm talking about on a Tuesday when things aren't going good and your job's not good and you don't know where your child is and you're dealing with problems in your marriage. I'm talking about on a Tuesday when you're downtrodden and you're bruised by the very words that somebody said to you. I'm talking about on a Thursday when you feel like nobody else is around. I'm talking about when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel deep down in the muck and in the floodwaters are coming. Anybody else ever feel like that? This is what David is saying. He says, the floodwaters are overwhelming me. I am exhausted from crying. He said, I am weary. I'm exhausted from what? Crying. In this translation, it says, my throat is parched. He says, my eyes are swollen. My eyes are swollen from weeping. Don't tell me David didn't fight battles. I can relate to, can anybody relate to David? He says, I can't even speak. I can't even pray anymore. My throat is so parched. I can't even cry anymore. My eyes are so swollen. Waiting for my God to help me. Psalm 69:29 says, David says, I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Psalm 102:7-9 says, I lie awake, lonely, lonely as a solitary bird on the roof. David says in 9, he says, I eat ashes for food. My tears run down into my drink. If we'd be honest, we've all been there. This world has a way of hurting. This world has a way of hurting us. People have a way of hurting us. Death has a way of hurting us. Sickness has a way of hurting us. Our thinking has a way of hurting us. Tragedy has a way of hurting us. Loss has a way of hurting us. But God, the hurting side of David, the hurting side of this world, is not left alone to die in anguish. But God, I thank the Lord today that he moves at the cries of his people. That the very swollen eyes of David was not in vain, but God heard every prayer. God heard every prayer lifted. He heard every word that David said. He saw every time David was hurting, he would lift up his voice and cry out, and the Lord would hear his cry. And God touched David's life. He brought healing to him. And the Bible says in Psalm 23 that God restored his soul. I have good news for you, ma'am. I have good news that God can restore your soul today. That you might have walked in here today with the hidden parts of your heart broken and in shambles and wanting to cry out to God. And you haven't had that moment yet. You haven't had that experience yet. But if you will cry out, you'll cry out to God today. He says he will restore. Restore your soul. I want him to restore my soul today. In Psalms 34, in another translation, he writes, David writes, is anyone crying for help? We have not because we ask not. Is anyone crying for help? He says, God is listening. Ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, that's why I like this translation. This just breaks it. You know, I grew up in Tennessee. I'm really just a hillbilly up here today. He says, if you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. David says in 19, disciples so often get in trouble. Boy, ain't that, we so often get in trouble. I do stupid things. Anybody ever do stupid things? I do stupid things. Disciples so often get in trouble. David says, still, God is there every time. Every time. He's faithful. Do I have a witness in the house that God is faithful?
Do I have a witness right now that would stand to your feet, clap your hands or raise your hands and just wave them and say, God has been faithful to me. His mercy endures forever, and he has been faithful to me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me, but God has always been there for me. The moment that I cry, he is right there. The moment I lift my voice, he is right there. We got testimonies right now in this house that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Somebody shout yes. In Psalm 147:3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart. He heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. We live in a hurting world, but we have a healing God. Nobody is above going through mental anguish. David wasn't above it. You're not above it. I'm not above it. We can all deal with mental anguish. Many years ago, as I was starting in ministry, I dealt with major anxiety. I felt at the time that this was an attack of the enemy. It was a very dark and lonely place. This was probably about 20 years ago, and thank the Lord that the church, my church, our churches, that we've gotten a little bit better about talking about some of these stigmas, about anxieties and fears and panic attacks. And we've gotten a little better, but back then we weren't so good. It was a dark and lonely place for me. I was supposed to be a man of God. I was supposed to be this man of God, this preacher. The only person that knew that I was going through it was my wife. And then I didn't even want to tell my pastor. I'm like, he's liable to set me down. He's liable to think I have sin in my life. Let me just say, if you're going through something mentally, that doesn't mean somebody has sin in their life. Come on. We just want to, well, they must be sinning. No, they're hurting. There's difference between hurting and sinning. Come on, somebody. A lot of times we hurt and people want to point a finger that it's sin. No, we're just hurting. We're going through a battle right now. There's some things coming against us right now. There's some tragedy in our life. There's some heartache in our life. No, I'm not wanting to sin. I'm not wanting to displease God. I'm just broken. I'm broken and I'm wounded. And I would lie awake at night, gripping to my wife with tears rolling down my cheeks, and I did not know why. Why am I so broken, God? Why am I here? How am I here? I'm supposed to be your mouthpiece. I'm supposed to be a preacher. So lonely. I didn't want to tell anybody. I would shake. I went to the hospital. Always a healthy guy. I went to the hospital thinking I was dying, having a heart attack. So I thought they were going to find something wrong, give me a few pills, and I'd be good. I was shocked when they said, sir, there's nothing wrong with you physically. It's all mental what you're going through. You're having anxiety in your life. And I said, psh. I ain't having no anxiety. I have the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost and have anxiety. You can have the Holy Ghost and have panic attacks. But you don't need to live in that state. God can deliver you from that state. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because he said that he'll set at liberty those that are bound. Come on, somebody. He'll set you free. So here I am. I go back home. And every night for weeks, I'm just bawling in my bed. Don't know why. I'm like, something is happening to me.
And I'm just crying out to God, crying out to God. It was hard to function. It was hard to go to work. It was hard to just keep on. You know, people say, just keep on keeping on. I don't know how to keep on keeping on. Sometimes when you're so broken and you don't know why, you don't know how to keep. Well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but ain't nothing changing. I'm speaking to some folks today, by the way. I'm not alone in this. And so it was weeks, and I'm crying out to God, crying out to God. Then in an instant, the Lord just started speaking, and the Lord started moving in my life. And those tears started drying up, and I would just keep repeating the scripture. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. And I would repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. Devil, I want you to hear this. The Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound and of a sound and of a sound. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power. Somebody say power. He's given you the spirit of love. Somebody say love. And he's given you the spirit of a sound mind. If there's one thing that the enemy would love to take from you today, it is your sound mind. Ha-ha. I thank the Lord for a sound mind. I thank the Lord that he is the Prince of Peace. I thank the Lord today that he gives joy that the world can't give. There is no Xanax that can do what the Lord can't do. There is no pill that you can take that can give you the peace and joy that the Lord can't give you. Somebody shout amen. Can I have just a few more minutes? I don't know how long. He didn't give me a time limit. Mama, Sister Robinson, if it's time, just go. I felt the Lord tell me to preach this today. And we're going to have a moment in the altar. And when you come to this altar, in just a few moments, God is going to set the captives free. Jesus says, I have come for those that were bruised, that were hopeless, that were broken. It's for everybody. If you're here today, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. Man, nothing should stop you. You should jump up out of your seat, do 3 backflips. Not because that matters, just because I'd love to see it. That'd be a story to tell. I was in church at Star City. My God, they do backflips to the baptismal tank. But God can cleanse you in the water. So the Lord, through my battle, I believe gave me the 3 R's to help me when I face mental battles. I was set free that day probably almost 20 years ago. But I have fought mental battles since. Come on, somebody. I've had tremendous, tremendous hurt hit my family. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Tremendous hurt hit my family. I've seen sickness and disease and so much happened. Traumatic situations where I would have to remember, look what the Lord has done and he did before. So the Lord, I believe, has given me 3 R's. Repent, relationship with him, and restoration. Repentance is simply this. We want to think that repentance is a negative word. It is. Oh, it is not. Repentance is such a positive word. I thank God for repentance. Repentance has to do with the clearing
of my heart and mind that I don't allow anything to separate me from God. I can't be close to God if I live a lifestyle that pushes him away. And if he is the God of peace and the Prince of Peace, I want to be, if I'm dealing with this in my life, I want to be as close to him as I can be. Repentance draws me close. Repentance gives you a front row seat to Jesus. Repentance is not a negative word. I do it every morning. I need to. Sometimes I need to do it six, seven, eight times a day. Come on. But repentance draws me close. And the Lord said, if you'll just stay in a lifestyle of repentance, asking God to forgive you, staying close to God, I'm going to stay right there. So when the enemy comes, and believe me, the enemy will come as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour you. He wants to devour your children. He wants to devour your family. He wants to devour this church. He wants to devour this community. He is out to devour. But repentance keeps us close. And as the Lord spoke to me, he says, stay in repentance. We all need to do that today when we come to this altar. And I pray that everybody would come, because this deals with everybody. At some point in your life, you're going to deal with some of these mental situations. Repentance draws me close. Then he said, relationship with him. What does that mean? It was very specific to me. He said, strive every day to please me in everything that you do. This was different from repentance for me, because this was then me living a very intentional life to please God. A lot of times we live our life to please ourselves. We live our life to please our spouse. And if we're not careful, we live our life to please our children, or we live our life to please our boss. We live our life to please our bank account. We live our life to please others. But if we could just have a mentality this morning, if we want truly to be set free, and if we want God to let us live in overwhelming joy, if God will let us live in that, he says, if you'll just try to please me every day. This is what God was saying to me. Every day, live intentional. Me and you, number one, then everything else will fall into place. And I'm like, okay, God, one and two. I'm almost done, I promise. One and two sounds good. Repentance, relationship with you. Then he told me this, and I'm like, oh. You know how God, you're hitting the checklist with God? Bam, bam. Ah! He said, go restore every broken relationship of people in your life that is stripping you from joy. I have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. You have to, God, I have to like them. No, you have to love them. That's hard. Because we know how bad they hurt us. We know what they said behind our back. We know how they tried to sabotage us. We know how they tried to stop us from moving forward in the kingdom of God. God, just take them out. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? No, put your hand down. Take that, dear brother and sister. Just go ahead and lift them on up to heaven. Take them out. And the Lord's like, no, take them with. Don't take them out. Grab them by the hand and take them with you. Because God's all about restoration. And you know why? From the minute that Eve and Eve took and partook of the fruit, sin entered into the picture. Ever since that day, God has been all about restoration. God said, if you want true peace in your life, if you want true joy in your life, repentance, relationship with me, restore broken relationships. I live a life that I try to do that. I don't want to be angry at anybody. Bitterness is a disease that kills you, not them. Unforgiveness is a disease and an illness that will destroy you and not them. And I'm not saying it's easy. People that I'm a pastor, people come in my office that have been abused as a child, and they still have the images in their mind. The last thing I want to do is tell them to let that go. Let it go. You got to find some place in here where you got to forgive them. It doesn't mean you excuse their behavior. It was horrible and sinful and horrific. And God, if they don't get right, God will judge them. And His wrath will be so much greater than your wrath. But for you and your soul and your mental state, if you release, God will fill. Restoring broken relationships. Allowing God to put back together. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with the person. Come on. That's not what I'm saying today. You can forgive them and never have to see them another day of your life. But when you forgive them, truly forgive them, you're going to be someplace and you're going to feel a refreshing in your soul. You're going to feel a refreshing in your mind. You're going to have peace in your soul. There's going to be a joy that comes to you. There's going to be a liberation that happens. There's going to be something that happens in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And Jesus is going to come in and He says, I am now going to fill the hinder parts. I'm going to fill the broken parts. I'm going to fill the hollow parts. Hallelujah. I still believe, and let's all stand, if the music would come. Whew. I know, ma'am, sir, nobody knows your brokenness like you. None of us love to share our stories of tragedy that we haven't came through yet. I still believe this. This is me. I still believe that God can heal all manner of sickness and disease. Does anybody believe that today? I still believe that God can heal all. Because that's what the Word says. He can heal all manner of sickness and disease. And I've seen it. I've seen a basketball-sized tumor totally gone in an MRI. I've seen a withered hand. Physically, I've seen it grow back. I've seen it. God can heal cancer. God can heal a headache. He can bring somebody back from the dead. If God can do all that, God can heal your bipolarism. God can heal your anxiety. God can heal your ADHD. God can heal your schizophrenia. God can heal your, come on, God can heal your panic attacks. If God can heal those, God can heal you. And I'm a test. God can heal me. He did. He did. I'm so thankful. But in the scripture I read earlier, would you close your eyes for a moment? And I just want you to hear this. Hear this, please.
I'm speaking to so many people in this room right now. I know I feel it in the Holy Ghost. David wrote this. Is anyone crying for help? Is anyone crying for help? Do you want help today? Are you so tired of your misery and anguish? Are you tired of your brokenness and your hurt? Are you tired of the loneliness you feel because nobody knows exactly what you've been through or are going through? David said, is there anyone crying for help? He said, if you are, God is listening and God is ready to rescue you.